Good morning and welcome to Public Affair, KGNU Community Radio. I am your host, Tish Buford, and in studio this morning, we have the lovely and multi-talented Zoshi Gatan. She is the co-chair of the Colorado Latino Forum and vice chair of outreach for the Colorado Democratic Party. And she is in studio with us this morning to discuss a variety of different things in regards to voter outreach, the Latino Forum, what they're doing in the community, her advocacy towards equal rights and representation for community work in Colorado, and as well as voting rights and redistricting in Colorado and Black Lives Matter. We have a ton of things to get into today. So let's go ahead and lend our ears and our attention to the lovely and multi-talented advocacy warrior herself, Ms. Zoshi Gatan. Good morning, Zoshi. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Ms. Tish Buford. I love the introduction. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, looking forward to this conversation with you and your audience.
Oh, thank you so much. I am a fan, and you have done so much work. And I always tell people that the greatest advocates in the world are the ones you don't know about. You are probably one of the best kept secrets. Everyone tells me, I know who she is. I don't know her name. I know her. I can pick her out. She's everywhere, but I don't know. I know her, but I don't know her. So we are bringing you in the studio today to give you a formal and long overdue and much deserved introduction to the Colorado community. So we could talk to them today about your advocacy work in voting rights and outreach as a part of the Colorado Democratic Party and as a part of the Latino Forum. And you've been in both positions a little over 2 years. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. As co-chair of the Colorado Latino Forum for over two, three years now, and about the same 2.5 years with the Colorado Democratic Party. And I'm just really passionate about my organizing work, my outreach work and advocacy work. I'm doing it with both organizations.
Now let's start with the position as co-chair of the Colorado Latino Forum. Now, I know that position was highly regarded in the community and was led by the great Dr. Lisa Calderon, who personally asked you to step in and be her successor. And many of you should know this, that she is the chief of staff of Councilwoman Candice DeBaca in District 9. And she is also the newly appointed director of the Emerge organization. So how did it feel to be personally asked to step in to fill for such an important platform in Colorado?
You know, that I knew early on that it was going to be big shoes that I was going to have to fill. You know, Dr. Lisa Calderon set the expectations high. There's high standards there that I believe were the right thing to do in order for the Colorado Latino Forum as a voice of our Latino, Mexicano, Chicano community in Colorado needing a strong voice, you know, throughout the state. It should be high standards, and it should be elevated to a high platform. And so I was very honored. I was very honored to step into that role, also knowing that I would have to put in the work, knowing that we would need to continue the efforts of the Colorado Latino Forum in being a voice of our community. In every which way, politically, you name it, socially, that's what we aim to do. We aim to really just increase the voice of our community in every which way. And so we're doing just that. We've been held back a little bit due to the pandemic, as any organization has.
Absolutely.
But we do have plans. We have plans in the future, in the near future, to have in-person forums and be able to bring political candidates that are running for office so that our community is able to meet and greet those people in person, ask questions of them, and just get a bit better feel for the candidates' platforms and their values, et cetera. So we hope to bring that back sometime very soon. I don't have any specific dates to give the audience right now, but it's in the works. And we continue to, again, be involved in that way politically. We will be endorsing candidates for this election season happening here in the next month or so. So look out for our endorsements for the Colorado Latino Forum.
Now, if people wanted to get more information about your organization, where would they go to go find information about the Colorado Latino Forum? And for those who are not familiar with your organization, can you give us some background and context how they came to be in Colorado?
Yes. So the history of the Colorado Latino Forum stems back about a couple of decades ago, where a group of community leaders, Latino community leaders, felt that the Latino voice wasn't strong enough politically in the state. And so a group of Latino leaders came together to form the Colorado Latino Forum. And this was a couple of decades ago. And of course, making sure that they brought together voices of the Latino, Mexicano, and Chicano community throughout the state. And so that it wasn't just centered around one particular city or one particular part of town, but really a statewide effort. And so it's continued on ever since by having just really great leaders and progressive voices as board members as well. So that's always been something very important to the Colorado Latino Forum. You can look for us at denverclf.org. Again, that's denverclf.org. We also have a Facebook page, and it's the full name, Colorado Latino Forum. So look for us and our work on the Facebook page as well. We'd love for you to follow what we do. Most recently, lots of at the state legislation level, we supported all the progressive environmental bills that passed, as well as the agricultural rights bill for agricultural workers. So there's lots of great bills that we supported and advocated for that actually passed legislative season. We're really proud of our work. So please look out for that.
And again, for those of you who are interested in just getting information about any type of legislation at all, please go to the Colorado page for the Senate and congressional sessions, and you can see what's on deck and what's being reviewed, what's in committee, and what's being put forth for votes. So it's important to do your civic mind a lot of justice to make sure that we stay educated about what's at the forefront of our government and what laws are being passed on behalf of Colorado citizens, specifically those in the BIOPIC community. The voting here in Colorado, and I want to touch on this a little bit in relation to Colorado Latino Forum. How has the Latino community been impacted by the voting complexities here in Colorado? Our dynamic is a little different than a lot of the other states that are predominantly white in the country. We tend, percentage-wise, to have more independent registered voters than registered Republicans and Democrats. And among those independent voters, how many of those are Latino, Chicano, and Mexicano voters here in the state of Colorado?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because even our own Latino community is unaware of the fact that we make up a very large percentage in terms of population in the state of Colorado. We make up at least a fourth of the state, and we're growing. It's a community that's growing at a much faster rate than any other BIPOC community. And because we're the fastest growing, we tend to gravitate a lot of attention, right, to our community because we're the fastest growing. But that also comes with its challenges, right, that we need to put a little more time and effort into helping our community learn on how to become more civically engaged so that we turn out to vote, being that we're a fourth of the entire population in the state and we're growing. We really need to work on increasing voter turnout. Now, we did increase voter turnout overall in all communities, whether you fall in the white Caucasian community or the BIPOC communities, voter turnout increased significantly in this last general election. But there's still work to do. What we're finding is that there's a lot of Latinos that are registered to vote that didn't vote, and it's pretty large percentages. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I can probably get those for you. And in different counties throughout the state, we're finding that we do have large percentages of Latinos that are registered to vote but didn't vote. How can we get the message out that our community, whether you're registered with one party or another, whether you're an independent, you know, unaffiliated to any party, how is it that we can get you engaged, civically minded, and want to get your vote in and get your ballot turned in? There's some work to do there on our part to really get out there and talk to our community and find out, you know, why? Why aren't they showing up to the ballot box to vote? What are those issues that maybe aren't being discussed in your community, or candidates or legislators aren't paying attention to? And let's have a conversation about what those issues are so that you feel passionate about getting your vote to the ballot box.
Absolutely. And to expand on that point a little further, I do find it curious, you know, why you would go through the logistical challenge of registering to vote, which is not all that difficult in Colorado, which in itself is a huge accomplishment, given some of the other challenges around the country, depending on certain states that people reside in who are people of color. My feeling is that maybe some of the challenges with getting to the ballot box may be socioeconomic challenges. And maybe people feel also too of the Latino community that their voice or their vote won't be properly represented if they cast that vote. So I think it's a trust issue within the culture. And I also do think that there are socioeconomic challenges that prevent them from voting and following up and consolidating that vote and actually getting it in the ballot box to make it count, because they're working two or three jobs in most cases, and they don't have transportation to get to a polling place or to drop off their ballot or have someone take their ballot and drop it off at a secure location. So I do believe that it's socioeconomic challenges, but there's also just cultural challenges with non-Latino communities outside of theirs, and also governmental distrust about the overall process. Did I hit any of the mark with any of those?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why at the Colorado Democratic Party executive team, which I'm on as vice chair of outreach, there's actually now 4 Latinas. We made history. This is the first time ever that the executive team has had more than one Latina officer sitting at the executive table. So we've decided that as the 4 Latina women, we're going to make a very strong effort, and we're in the works right now. We're planning and coordinating right now how we're going to do some outreach specific to the Latino community and what that's going to look like statewide. Now, what we plan on doing just in general is to visit different counties throughout the state that have high number of Latino population. And we're going to talk to unregistered voters, unregistered people who could potentially vote, and as well as registered voters. And we want to talk to them and find out why. Why aren't they voting if you're registered? And if you're not registered, why haven't you? And what could potentially be preventing you from registering? So all of those points that you touched on are points that we're thinking are going to come up, you know, like the socioeconomic issue. You know, maybe they didn't vote because they couldn't get a ride over to the ballot drop box. And so does that mean that we need to provide more ballot drop boxes throughout certain communities in the state? So we're going to ask questions in the next year or so. The 4 of us Latina officers at the state level. And we're going to go out and we're going to do a listening tour, but also a listening tour with action items, where not only are we going to take actions to help provide resources that our community needs, but also ask the community to do their part to start the beginnings of a voter outreach plan. So that's in the works right now as we speak. And I'll have more to share with you if you bring me back on at some, you know, later point in time. I'd love to give you the details of that plan once that we have it solidified. I could see the community definitely saying, okay, here's a list. This, this, and this, and that is what's preventing us from either registering to vote or getting our vote into the ballot box. And what do we need to do to help our community? And that's the next step.
That sounds fantastic. And it sounds like you guys have a great action plan. And I will definitely have you back, I promise. We'll have you back in 2022. So you heard it here on the air. We'll have the great Zoe Gaitan back in 2022 to give us an update on you guys' outreach in the biopic community. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to continue this great conversation. You all are listening to KGNU Community Public Radio. And we have in studio today the great Zoshi Gaitan on a public affair with yours truly, Tish Buford. We're going to go ahead and get back into our show here. And I want to kind of expand our conversation a little bit. So we talked at length about why we believe the Latino community and communities of color may not be coming out to consolidate their vote in person or by mail. Now, we all know that gerrymandering has gone on forever in this country, and it has had a very significant effect on fairly mapping out districts throughout the country. Colorado is one of the few states that have recently appointed independent committees that are non-political to start addressing redistricting and doing it through a third-party independent consulting firm. And I want to expand on that and talk about this new process that they have started this year and find out how it's going and if they're seeing positive effects from that so far.
That's a great question. So right now, the redistricting efforts are underway. There's a commission, there's a group of commissioners, a third of them being with the Republican Party, another third with the Democratic Party, and the other third are independent or unaffiliated commissioners. And so this group of commissioners is looking at a redistricting map right now, a preliminary redistricting map that they are researching and looking at and analyzing. They've opened it up to community hearings to hear from community members throughout the state on what their opinion is about this current preliminary redistricting map. So if you have the opportunity for listeners today, if you have the opportunity, please look for that map in the state of Colorado website. It should be easy to find by you typing in the word redistricting, and it should take you to the preliminary maps that you can yourself take a look at and zoom in maybe to your particular neighborhood or your particular district that you live in, because the commissioners are looking at redefining the lines of the congressional maps, of the House district maps, and other legislative districts. This could really affect your community like no other. They're taking one of the concerns that our BIPOC community, our Black, Indigenous, people of color communities have right now is the fact that they're taking old census data, you know, from 10 years ago, combining it with other forecasted numbers that the staff of the commissioners put together. And based on this data and these numbers, they developed these preliminary maps. We, the BIPOC community, knows that we come in larger numbers than the old census data from 10 years ago. Our communities have grown twofold, even trifold now in 2020, 2021. And so our communities also look very differently. For example, in the Denver metropolitan area, we've experienced extreme gentrification. We know that our BIPOC communities, many have been pushed out and to the margins of the metropolitan area. So we need to be paying attention. The Black, Indigenous, people of color, Latino, Mexicano, Chicano, all of our multicultural communities need to be paying attention to these preliminary maps and how they affect your neighborhood and your congressional and house districts.
That is great information and great education. A lot of people really don't understand redistricting. And I think it's such a public disservice that this information is not shared more publicly with the citizens and our fellow brothers and sisters who are immigrants that are living here in this country. They don't fully understand the civil engagement process beyond voting, which is critically important, but a lot of people don't understand how their vote is landing and where it's going. And they just assume that, well, if I'm in a certain district, it's going to represent that district. And they don't understand that geographically that can be altered. That can be altered. So that is something that I think is incredibly important for people to understand.
And that is what we're looking at right now, is history is unfolding before our eyes and we're not participating in that history, which is, you know, when you talked about gerrymandering, that's the practice of gerrymandering is basically, you know, people intending to have a political advantage over another group. And if we allow that to happen, you know, who do we have to blame? So we need to act. We need to be engaged. We need to be paying attention to what the commissioners are doing. We need to have a voice and let them know, you know, what we believe and what we think those lines on the redistricting map should look like. You know, it could be a line that's going through your block and you think that you're voting. You think that you're voting with your neighbor across the street, but your neighbor across the street could be voting in a completely different district than you are. And you feel like you're more a part of your neighbor and that side of the line than you are on your side of the line. So if that's what you believe and that's what you think needs to be said, this is your chance, your opportunity to speak up and speak out and tell the commissioners, because they are listening. They have between now and October to listen to you, to hear you out before they finalize that redistricting map. So this is your opportunity to be a voice for your community in whatever part of the state you fall in and whatever socioeconomic class you fall in. You still have a voice. You get to speak to these commissioners virtually or in person and let them know how you feel and what you think those lines should look like.
Oh, absolutely. And I couldn't have said it better myself. So let's share that deadline again. So if you are a citizen here in Colorado and you're a registered voter, what is the deadline to participate in the redistricting process and how can they go about getting their voices heard?
I highly recommend, especially to our BIPOC community, that they go to redistricting.colorado.gov. Again, that's redistricting.colorado.gov, where you can sign up to engage with the commissioners and tell them, share with them. You can email them what your thoughts are around the redistricting maps. You can sign up to speak to them in person, or you can sign up to speak to them virtually. So you've got several options to be able to go and speak to them and tell them how you feel about the current map. Again, there's time to change the map right now. They are giving the opportunity to community members to speak to them, to hear from them, and then they'll rework this preliminary map, rework it to fit the needs of the people. But they can't do that until they hear from the people.
Absolutely. And as we close out our interview today, just real quickly, I want to get some final thoughts about the Black Lives Movement, the George Floyd decision, and how we can progress to better intersect our African-American and Latino communities to form a coalition going into 2022 and 2024 and beyond.
You know, I said it before, Tish, and I'll say it again, in that I truly believe that the liberation and the freedom of the Latino, Mexicano, Chicano community is tied to the liberation and the freedom of our Black brothers and sisters. You know, it can't be one without the other. And so by uplifting Black voices, we too shall be uplifted as Latinos. So we need to be able to work with each other, hold each other accountable, and also collaborate with each other and support and help each other out, because the liberation for our communities are tied to one another. With that said, it's important that we continue to have communication and continue to support things like protecting voting rights. You know, one of the issues that the Colorado Latino Forum supported was the voting rights rally that took place just a week or two ago, where we gathered hundreds of people just outside of the, over at Auraria campus, just outside of the All-Star baseball games.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball's All-Star Week, right?
Yes, at the start of the week, we decided to, you know, gather people to a rally where we discussed voting rights and how to protect voting rights and placing a safeguard around the elections. You know, we're having a lot of issues right now throughout the state, throughout the nation, I should say, where there's states that are passing laws that are taking away the rights, especially the rights of people of color to vote. We need to work together as not only the nation to protect voting rights, but as a state, we are a leader. The state of Colorado is a leader for voting rights and safeguarding our election system. We know how to turn out the vote here in the state of Colorado. We have placed hundreds of new ballot boxes throughout the state, and we should continue to do more of that. We now are able to have same day voter registration for people who haven't registered to vote, show up with your identification to be able to register and get your vote in. We've made it so easy for people to just mail in their ballot. So if you're too busy with work and raising your children and, you know, two or three jobs, we can mail our vote in, our ballot in now. So there's different measures that we've taken into account in the state of Colorado to make it easier to turn out the vote. And we should continue to be a leader as a state to show the rest of the country that it can be done. And so that was the reason why we decided to have a voting rights rally a couple weeks ago, to show the nation that this can be done. We can safeguard elections and protect the right to vote. And so please continue to share with your neighbors and friends that it's important that we have a voice in government. And one way to do that is to present your ballot to the box.
Absolutely. And if we lift one of us, we lift all of us. Thank you so much, Doshi, for being here with us. And thank you again for spending time and with our audience here. It's been so lovely having you.
Thank you. It was my honor as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for listening to KGNU's Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. Please stay engaged. Always stay ready to help others. And please always stay safe. Thank you for listening. And have a great day.